to the near post. Messi to the net. Mamma mia! Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantanita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on, and each and every week bringing you the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. We've been doing this in Houston since 2002. So welcome into the show, your humble host, Glenn Davis. First off, I'm going to have to talk a little bit about, well, the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs winning it. Here was why I had a rooting interest in the Chiefs yesterday. If you go back to the original North American Soccer League and the Dallas Tornado, it was one Lamar Hunt who was investing in the sport of soccer back then when there really was not a return. He spent 14 years owning the NASL's Dallas Tornado. Now, this was part of those years were before Pelé came to the United States. And then, of course, Warner Brothers and the Cosmos then became the story on the latter part of the 70s. But remember, he was the owner of the Dallas Tornado before that sort of a big spike in the North American Soccer League that occurred with the Cosmos and being supported by Warner Brothers and Ahmet Erdogan and all those amazing days back at the Meadowlands and Giants Stadium. So that was my rooting interest for the Kansas City Chiefs. And by the way, Lamar Hunt was also the original MLS owner with the Columbus Crew, so he was a big part of building Major League Soccer, as we all know. First soccer-specific stadium built in Columbus. And, of course, FC Dallas, where his son Clark is now in charge. And I saw Clark Hunt on the field last night. But remarkable history with Lamar Hunt. That should not be forgotten. That original group of Tornado players in Dallas, by the way, this is fact. They went into the communities. They went into schools. These players and grew the game through coaching and mentoring kids and growing the soccer culture. So everything that goes on in Dallas right now is off the backs of those original Tornado players. And there was a lot of that done here in Houston with the Houston Stars, Houston Hurricanes, Dynamos, Houston Hotshots, all of that clinic and touching youth and trying to grow the culture of the game. So, so vital that continues to this day with the current Dynamo. Great for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great for Patrick Mahomes, former Texas Tech quarterback. Also was a baseball player there. Man, that's some poise for a 24-year-old. All right, we move on. So that was my thoughts on the Super Bowl. Commercials, wasn't wowed. Didn't really watch them. Halftime, great spectacular with Jennifer Lopez and, of course, Shakira. That's supposed to be a spectacle, okay? So, you know, the whole lip-syncing and not really playing the guitar and all that, it's a spectacle. It passed the test as a spectacle. The two ladies were great. The dancing was incredible. It was a spectacle. That's what halftime of the Super Bowl is. I do remember, like, Maroon 5, they were not very good. This hit home. I thought it was good. So Andy Reid winning a Super Bowl, just wonderful. Love seeing it. Also, a very happy birthday to the legendary Cliff McGrath, 84 years young, has been involved with soccer at all levels in this country. You'll remember him at Seattle Pacific winning national championships up in Seattle. At one time when he won the national championship, he said, if we win it, it was Division II, I'm going to crawl on my hands and knees to the Space Needle. And he did that. So Cliff McGrath, 84 years of age, has been a soccer educator in this country too. A vibrant, vibrant personality. U.S. women in action right now, taking on Costa Rica at BBVA Stadium. They beat Haiti 4-0. They beat Panama 8-0. All of this predictable. This game tonight from a competition standpoint leading into it, giving us a little bit more of a feel of better competition. But we knew what this was going to be, no question. Tonight on the show, Dynamo President John Walker will be in. Looking forward to having John on. He's got a number of initiatives he wants to talk about concerning the Houston Dynamo, season tickets, in stadium, ads and some of the things you can be expecting when you come to Dynamo games this year. Now, another thing that's floated out there right now is the potential of the Nations League coming here to Houston. And that would be the two semifinals, and that would be Mexico. I think it's Mexico, Costa Rica, and the U.S. Honduras. Am I correct there? But those two semifinals could be here. The date of that is in June. Now, what would that mean? Would that mean that game is played at Energy Stadium because the draw that Mexico is? You know, do they do a doubleheader there? Do they play it safer and do it at BBVA Stadium? But that's been floated out of Honduras. That's something we have coming from Honduras. So John Walker on the show tonight. Marcelo Balboa will also join us on the show tonight here. And he's going to talk about the U.S. 1-0 win over Costa Rica. So let's talk about that a little bit. Everybody's really hot now on Ulises Yanez, an 18-year-old, who got an opportunity to play for Greg Berhalter. Due to others not being called into camp. So he took advantage of his opportunity, had some wonderful flashes on the ball, took a confident penalty. He looked good technically. I don't think there's any question. He got his goal in his debut, which is also a good thing. But this was not a good Costa Rica. I think you have to be very, very careful in blowing up through the roof about Ulises Yanez. Now, he's at Wolfsburg. That's the good news. He's 18 years of age. He's at Wolfsburg in Germany after 4 or 5 years with the LA Galaxy. That's the good thing. And we all know how good Germany is for the acceleration of the development of young soccer players, the discipline, the order they get in these teams. But he's an American-born player now at Wolfsburg. Costa Rica didn't look great. Didn't have a lot going forward. They had an average age of 32. Five players were in their lineup that played in the World Cup. It was a U.S. team that averaged around 22 for Greg Berhalter. And for the U.S. fan, yeah, this was a positive day, buoyed by youth and the number of young players who had an opportunity to play. Again, proceed with caution. Very young players. Ulises Yanez is not the next Clint Dempsey. He's not the next Christian Pulisic. Let's keep this all in perspective. And, you know, for a lot of these players in this match, you have to say to yourself, the question remains is, can they produce against teams outside of CONCACAF? If they're up against a top European team, can they? The goal or the penalty that led to the goal was Paul Areola with a nice penetrating run, a pass that caught Reggie Cannon getting into the box. He got taken down. Reggie Cannon obviously is, again, now really in contention for that right-back position with DeAndre Yedlin and others. So U.S. gets a win over Costa Rica. It's positive. Keep it in perspective. I think that's the way we'll do it. But tonight we'll have Marcelo Balboa on to talk a little bit more about that. It is the U.S. Honduras. It is Mexico-Costa Rica for the Nations League. That rumor is that on June 4th, that game will be played in Houston. That's according to Honduran press. Sometimes the Honduran press is not reliable. Both these games would be in Houston. It would be, again, at Energy or BBVA Stadium. Could be an amazing doubleheader at Energy with Mexico in town, obviously. And I think the final, they were saying, potentially then is up at Jerry Jones's Palace up in the Dallas area. We do have La Liga talk tonight. We do have Premier League talk tonight. We're going to get into a number of those games. I had an opportunity to watch those this weekend. So we'll talk some Manchester United Wolves. We'll talk some Liverpool Southampton. We are going to talk what is the story and one of the stories in the Premier League for me, and that is Sheffield United. It's been remarkable what they have done as the Blades in their first year back in the Premier League. It is just a great story. We'll also talk City going down to Spurs 2-0. Jose Mourinho getting one over on Pep Guardiola in that one. Now Manchester United, there's some things bubbling up with, Manchester City. Locker room door closed for 45 minutes by Pep Guardiola after that game. So, times very interesting. FA Cup replay, Tuesday, Liverpool-Shrewsbury. Jurgen Klopp vowing, not going to play the regulars. It's going to get some people upset. All right, take a break here. We're just going to remind you that this show is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. That's where you go. John and his firm, their personal injury attorneys, are going to cover you 24-7, nights and weekends. They are bilingual. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Nobody wants to get in any kind of an accident. Fender bender, car accident, driving an 18-wheeler. You work in a refinery. Car accident, boat, motorcycle, you name it, they'll cover you. Again, bilingual. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And by the way, John and his firm, also the presenting sponsor, not only of this show on ESPN 97.5, but also on the show in Austin, Texas, on Horn FM, which is every Thursday night from 8 to 9. And the good news here is that we're going to get back to our normal Tuesday, 7 o'clock time slot here in the near future. So hang in there. Thank you for following us around. Thank you for making sure you find us. And even more importantly, thank you for hitting up podcastarena.com and iTunes and making sure that you don't miss your fix of the show and catch it via the podcast. All kinds of great interviews over there. Recent ones with Todd Ramos, Claudio Reyna, Vlatko Andonovsky, Megan Rapinoe. On and on we go. All right, we'll take a break. Break presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Stick with us. More from Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Dynamo in preseason continuing to roll on, and we've got a ton of great games upcoming in the Premier League and La Liga, not to mention other leagues from around the world. Again, the presenting sponsor of our show, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. They do support your game, the game of football, soccer. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. To find more information about the firm out, you go to DaspitLaw.com and then you can get that representation you need. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. A big thank you to John Daspit, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick shout out here to my good friends over at Hugh O'Connor's. That's the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group, 7620 Katy Freeway, in the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs. They've got the big screen there. They pack them in for Liverpool games, but hey, don't stop there. You can watch any football there you want. Food is great. It's a really inviting pub. It's new. It's fresh. It's clean. It's got some nice dark woods in there. It's got a little patio out front. It's got some really cool old black and white shots of breweries on the wall. So great spot to go. Hugh O'Connor's. All right, so let's come back here with some Premier League talk. And first thing I want to go to here, Leicester City, 2-2 draw with Chelsea. Then I take you to Crystal Palace, going down to Sheffield United, 1-0. Now, let's talk about Sheffield United. This has been quite the rise. They're fifth in the Premier League. Their entire lineup is comprised of English, Scottish, Irish, Northern Irish, in this game, except for one player, Sander Bursch from Norway. But what a story they are. Fifth in the table. So I'm sure you don't know who Billy Sharp, John Fleck, Chris Basham, Oliver McBurney are. And then let me mention the contributions of John Egan and Jack O'Connell, who have been outstanding defensively for Sheffield United. You don't even know the name of the manager of Sheffield United, most likely. Of course you don't, because you don't follow them, because they're not glamorous. But what they are doing is they're in fifth place in the table of the Premier League after gaining promotion. In goal, Dean Henderson picked up his ninth shutout. And again, it's not all about him. It's about the collective play of Sheffield United. It's about their confidence, taking on opponents, and performances from individuals like Egan and O'Connell, who I mentioned. Chris Wilder is the name of the manager. Write that down. He's pulling the strings. It's an amazing story. Sheffield United, by the way, once played here in Houston. I can take you back to 1986. Played against the team that I was on, the Houston Dynamos. Former Liverpool legend Phil Thompson was on that team, anchoring the back line. The game ended in a 1-1 draw. Beto DeSantos, teammate of mine who's now in California, has done a lot of coaching education work. He got the goal for us that night. Of course, he's the uncle of Gio DeSantos. And in goal for Sheffield United, the legendary Budgie, John Burridge. What a character he was. So Sheffield United does have a little bit of a tie here to Houston, Texas. But what they're doing in the Premier League has to be noted. It has to be respected. And they are not an easy team to play. That's for sure. They have made a few transfer moves now. But their starting lineup, you heard me mention it, really comprised of English, Scottish, Irish, Northern Irish players. And good for them. Liverpool 4-0 winners over Southampton. Now, this was 0-0 at the half. 61% of the possession to the Reds. 16 shots to 9 on goal. They were a passing machine. They passed the ball 531 times to 320 for Southampton. Oxlade-Chamberlain, after a 0-0 scoreline at halftime, 47th minute, he opens the scoring. And then one of your favorites, Liverpool fans, Jordan Henderson, in the 60th. Mo Salah, again with that thirst to score goals and press defenders, which just never seems to stop. He scores goals in the 71st and 90th. This is a team that is a mental wear down for opponents. No one right now in the Premier League has the mental strength, I think, to compete with them. Even Jurgen Klopp, their manager, stated he has never seen a team this consistent. He said they just don't seem to take their foot off the pedal. And by the way, late goals always. So the way this man is going about his job as a manager is remarkable. Mentally, they just seem to have the edge on everybody before they get on the field. Now, the other big story out of this game, again, is Roberto Firmino. And I've reminded you on this show many times. He had 3 assists in this game. His value is not quantified simply in the form of scoring goals. That ability for him to check into midfield, to create space, to drag a defender with him, put a defender in 2 minds, shoot, do I stay, do I go, in that vital area in front of back fours, is something else. So, think of Roberto Firmino, 3 assists in that game. Don't quantify his contributions by goals. Manchester United, 0-0 with Wolves. So it was a debut of Bruno Fernandes. Everybody getting excited for the Red Devils. 64% possession for United. 628 passes to 345. 5 shots on goal for United, 3 for Wolves. Now, United debuted Fernandes. He had a couple of nice moments. We'll see where the Portuguese man comes in down the road here after he gets settled in and he's got a few games under his belt, but I think for him a good debut. They also made an emergency signing of sorts, which has gotten a lot of reaction from a lot of people. Ighalo was picked up by United, and, you know, can he be a surprise? Can he be a surprise package? Can he help them, you know, to elevate their stature and truly make a run for a Champions League place? And that was a late move to get him. So there is a little bit of anxiousness and rush to get him behind this move. Now, Ighalo, if you remember, he played at Watford, 39 goals and 99 appearances. He was playing in China for Shanghai Shenhua, which sometimes is an indication, that you're being put out to the elephant graveyard. But not in his case. He was scoring goals. You have to like that United is making moves, though. I think for United fans, that's going to satisfy in the moment here. There's also talk of Red Bull Leipzig's Timo Werner also being linked to United, but he's also linked to probably every other big team in the Premier League as well. Now, this is what may make United fans even more happy. Ed Woodward, we all know he's a suit making soccer and football moves, but his reign could potentially be coming to an end. The fans despise him. And sometimes how much they despise, and I hate using this word, but hate him, has gone too far. You know, they're throwing stuff at his house, couple of flares, whatever. I don't know if the press built that up bigger than it really was. Doesn't matter. It's wrong. But the insanity of non-football people that somehow get into these positions that allow them to then make decisions about a team on the field, signings, it's absolutely absurd. And you have to think to yourself, how does ownership allow this? It's absurd. And then it's the ego of Woodward. And of course, Woodward loves being the main man. The cameras, the attention that goes with a guy that makes decisions about football. But the football side of it is over his head. And it's amazing that Sir Alex Ferguson, Bobby Charlton, all these greats just sit around and don't seem to be that concerned with it. And that's probably because the club is paying them ridiculous sums of monies. And how dare I criticize Sir Alex Ferguson? But I think that's the truth. And this is not criticism of what he did as a manager by any means. But it does sometimes stun me that these legendary figures have stood by watching Ed Woodward do what he does. And the ownership group. Antero Henrique, the former PSG director of football, is now being mentioned and linked to Manchester United to come in and take over the role of Woodward. This is being reported by L'Equipe in France. Spurs and City. This one was off the rails. It was chaotic. It was a crazy train like Ozzy Osbourne. Spurs get a 2-0 win, wild affair. Stats were dominated by City as always. Bergwijn in the 63rd, Son Min in the 71st. Those are the two goals. 60th minute sending off Zinchenko. Missed penalty kick by City. VAR crazy decisions. Mourinho gets the win over Pep. Pep leads all time, but Mourinho gets this one. And then Pep Guardiola closes the locker room door for 45 minutes post-match. This game was off the rails. Spurs were fortunate in many ways on this night. I think Lady Luck was definitely with them. And let's go back to a huge save from Hugo Lloris on Aguero in the first half. That's got to be noted as well. On to La Liga. Real Madrid, they were 1-0 winners over Atletico Madrid. And, of course, they get a very critical win there. They get the winner from Karim Benzema. Atletico only had 4 shots to 16 for Real Madrid. That's kind of predictable with the way Diego Simeone lines his team up, and they're built on defending. We all know that. But they only get 1 shot on goal. I mean, I don't care if you're prideful in defending, and I know it only takes one, but nobody can be happy about completing a game, no matter that you lost 1-0 with 1 shot on goal. 65% possession for the Galacticos. Zidane starting this match out with a five-man congested midfield. Now, here's where Zidane showed me something. Ultimately, he would bring on Lucas Vazquez and Vinicius Jr. For Kroos and Isco. What that did was Zidane corrected himself. He brought Witten to the team. And then that's a sign of a good manager. Vinicius, for the goal, started the move in midfield, found Mendy, and then Mendy found Benzema for that vital lone goal. But Zidane took responsibility for the way the team played in the first 45 minutes, so very good for him. Impressive. Diego Simeone wanted a penalty on Morata at one point in this game. He was brought down by Casemiro. But one shot on goal, that tells you everything. Then there was Barcelona, 2-1 with the Levante, trying to keep pace with Real Madrid. 17-year-old Ansu Fati scoring both the goals. Now, earlier in the year, and I watched this game, Levante beat Barcelona. Levante did make a second-half push. Messi will set both those goals up for Fati, for the teenager. Barcelona, 67% possession, 23-10 in shots. Fati goals, both of those go right through the five hole of Levante goalkeeper Aitor Fernandez. And this is at the Nou Camp. And remember, again, Levante had beaten Barcelona back in November. Houston Culas loving that win. On an MLS note, Rodolfo Pizarro to Inter Miami FC. Makes sense. Diego Alonso is former coach at Rayados there. Could this happen? They're going to have to break the bank to get him. I mean, they got money down there with Jorge Mas. These guys are billionaires. And David Beckham. But that's one to keep an eye on in Major League Soccer. I don't think there's any question. We're also going to talk a little bit here about the Dynamo. Because the transfer window is gone. Manotas does not get sold. Neither does Albert Elise to Europe. So that means Ramirez, Manotas, Quintero, and Elise all are here now. Can they all play on the field at the same time? So that's quite a stable of attacking players you got there, and then you bring in Memo Rodriguez to the equation as well. But those four, Quintero, Manotas, Ramirez, Elise, can you get them on the field at the same time? As I've mentioned before, one of the challenges here for Tab Ramos, the manager, is Elise and Quintero. Depending on the way he wants to play the game, the press, where it's going to be. I'm sure it'll be at different places at different times during a game. But Albert and Quintero, can they buy in defensively at this point in their careers? Will they buy in defensively? Because when that ball's lost, if you don't get an ethic out of those two, you know, you're basically working with nine players to get the ball back. And that includes your goalkeeper. That's an interesting one. Now, the other thing is the number eight. Boniac, Garcia, Vera, Quintero, is that your triangle in midfield if you do a 4-2-1-3 or a 4-3-3? You need a threat. I don't think you can do it with Quintero based on his, you know, when the ball's lost, not maybe putting the diligent work in to get it back. I could be wrong there, but I don't think you can do it with Vera, Memo Rodriguez, and Quintero. I'm not sure the blend is right there. Dynamo were seeking out a number eight. Haven't been able to get that guy. And then the back four, Lundqvist, Cabrera, Struna, Valentin, Bizama. Now, Valentin is competing with both Lundqvist and Bizama because Zarek can play either as a left back and a right back. So there's some good competition there. Bizama still has something to show us. I think we do know he can go forward. But he's going to get a full preseason. How do you get those four on the field, though? Ramirez, Manotas, Quintero, and Elise. Or do you even at all? Do you try to get them on the field? You may not. You know, Manotas was moved out wide at times. I don't know why you do that to your million-dollar player, but that would be the natural thing to do with Ramirez as a center forward. I'm not sure Mauro would be happy about that, and he is your top hit man. Marco Maric in goal. That's going to be exciting. Guy with a little bit more of a personality, I think, as far as aggressiveness, a bit of an intimidator, likes to play with his feet, will play as a covering player behind a back four. Interesting. And there's a lot more we can talk about the Houston Dynamo when it comes to the team, but I'm sure Tab Ramos is finding out a lot about this team right now, and he's the man that has been hired to get it right. And by the way, with Tab Ramos in town, it is great for the young player. Here is a guy that does covet giving opportunity to younger players. All right, we're going to take a break here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Again, we always thank you for tuning in here. A quick word for my friends down at Advantage BMW. I've driven a BMW for years. I got an X5. Absolutely love it. Throw the bike in the back. Just an amazing vehicle. Protects you. It's safe. But you know what German engineering does. I love the drive of the BMW. Other thing I love is the customer service down there. It's second to none. Vantage BMW Midtown. They will cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Vantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to my great friend Justin. He is a huge soccer fan. All right, we're going to take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is always presented by your presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Quick word for Advantage BMW Midtown. Driven one for years. Have an X5. I love it. I throw the bicycle in the back. But the other thing I love of Advantage BMW Midtown is their customer service. They're going to cover you at all angles, but they'll cover you from sales, service, and finance all the way through the process. It can be done so easy. Get down there, see my friend Justin. It is Advantage BMW Midtown, huge supporters of soccer. And right now, none other than the president of the Houston Dynamo, John Walker, joining us now. John, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Glenn. How are you?
Good to have you on the show. I'm excited. I'm doing well. Excited about the upcoming start of Major League Soccer. It's remarkable how quickly it is getting here. I know you've got some very important initiatives, so let's first talk about a few of those key things that are on your mind as the president of the Houston Dynamo.
Well, sure, and I appreciate you having me on, as always. I think one of the things that we're most excited about, Glenn, is that our season ticket base is growing, and you know, for the first time since the stadium opened in 2012, we'll have more season ticket holders than we did the previous season. I attribute that to a couple things. One is we started the process a little earlier last summer in terms of renewing, and then I just think there's a general excitement about this club. As you and I were speaking about earlier, you know, having Morrow and Albert back, and having those guys, you know, joined by Quintero and having Tab at the helm, it should be really exciting.
Yeah, exciting year for sure, and that's some stable of strikers. It's going to be very interesting, I think, from people that are analyzing the Dynamo, how this is going to set up. But, boy, it looks good, and some of the defensive areas have been reinvigorated here with some signings like Valentin and Cabrera, and, of course, an aggressive goalkeeper in Marco Maric. Let's talk a little bit about some of the PR and the marketing side of things. First, let's go to the supporters group in Hustletown.
Yeah, we've been meeting with folks from El Batallón and the Texian Army, you know, since about the middle of last season, actually, and a lot during this off season, and have really solicited their help in growing the supporters section. And so we've created Hustletown, which is an alliance of supporter groups. We've added a couple more groups to the mix, so now instead of just the two groups, we'll have a total of four, and maybe even a fifth. By the time we get the ball out on the pitch here later this month. And the idea is to create a great environment in the stadium, and it has to start in that supporter section. You know, we need thousands of folks down there jumping around for a full 2 hours and supporting the Dynamo. And the Hustletown Alliance is our way to try and help invigorate that and kickstart that and then turn it back over to the supporters, because it really has to be organic. Those guys have to own it. Guys and gals have to own it, and you know, so far the early returns are, you know, they're excited about helping. Their numbers are starting to grow a little bit, and you know, it'll be an ongoing effort, but I think it'll make a world of difference in the stadium.
Now, what happens to the hashtag Forever Orange now that there's a new handle, Hold It Down?
Well, we're always going to be forever orange. You know, this Hold It Down is more of an evolution to create a deeper emotional bond with the city. You know, we want to represent the city of Houston, and you know, that the phrase "Hold It Down" came, you know, from the streets of Houston, and so we're using that as a mantra for the next, you know, probably several years. But we'll always be forever orange. We'll always be wearing orange, but you know, we need a deeper connection than just the color of our jersey.
Talking to Dynamo President John Walker, 2020 season around the corner. By the way, LA Galaxy, Chicharito Hernandez will be the opening match at the end of February. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, you've been on the job now, I guess, is it over a year now?
A little over a year, yeah.
Yeah, little bit over a year. And obviously anybody coming into a new situation has to kind of get a lay of the land here. But what's kind of the biggest things you've learned over the year being the president of the club?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of passion for the sport here in the city, as you know, and in the surrounding region. And there's a tremendous passion for the Dynamo, too, from our hardcore fans. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, renewing 86% of our season tickets this year just shows the level of support that you have. That is rare, just so you know, in professional sports to renew at that rate for a club that, you know, didn't make the playoffs. So we feel very fortunate to have, you know, that sort of level of commitment from our season ticket holders. And there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity for this club in the city, given the, you know, the makeup of the city, the love of soccer, the love of the game here. Everybody I meet has a favorite club, and we want them to hold on to that loyalty with their club and make the Dynamo their hometown club.
Dynamo President John Walker joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. He's been on the show a bunch, and we'll get you hopefully in studio another time where we can take some calls down the road as we get closer to the opener. When we look at that game with the LA Galaxy, and of course all the excitement around Chicharito coming here to Houston and that being the first game in Major League Soccer for him, we would expect attendance to this one to be exceptional. How many of those people on a day like that could be, you know, maybe repeat ticket buyers? And a lot of that might come down just to basically the performance on the day by the Houston Dynamo.
Well, I think, you know, it's a huge opportunity for us as a club, not only to get a victory against, you know, a marquee team in the league, but, you know, we're anticipating it being sold out. Sales so far have been very brisk. I am hopeful that we're able to announce a sellout for that match, you know, well before the day of the game, But you know, we will do everything we can to put on a great show that day in the building and on the pitch. And it, by doing that, you certainly put yourself in a good position to get people to want to come back. And you know, one of the things that people will notice in their first visit to BBVA Stadium in 2020 is our new video boards. And we've installed four new boards, three inside and one outside, which are the latest from Daktronics. They're state-of-the-art. And they actually will, you know, provide double the video space as the previous boards. So they're really doubling in size. And having seen them, you know, last weekend for the Olympic qualifying here, they're fantastic. They're spectacular, and they really add to the event. And so, you know, doing things like that in the stadium that we've tried every year to increase and improve the use of technology in the stadium, because that really adds to the experience for folks who, you know, are want to be social and want to post that they're at the match and tell, you know, tell their story in their own words. And so we put in Wi-Fi last year. We're the first stadium in the U.S. to have Wi-Fi 6 in. And that gives people a chance to really, you know, promote that they're at the event and to talk about the good things that are going on in there. So we think the Wi-Fi and the video boards will be a tremendous improvement this season.
And then more people in stadium talking about the product, the event, the game day experience, that can only be healthy overall for the club.
You bet. Absolutely. And as I mentioned, it should be sold out, so it'll be a lot of fun.
John, what is Wi-Fi 6? Because I'm not that schooled on this stuff, frankly.
Well, it's like your phone, right? You know, every so often there's a next generation, next iteration, and Wi-Fi 6 provides a broader scope of speed and effectiveness for a Wi-Fi signal. So it's for you and I, the lay people, it's the latest and greatest.
So the next thing I would talk about is just the fact that you guys have Cruz Azul coming here. The Dynamo will play an exhibition game. They have an off weekend in Major League Soccer. I think it may be an international date. I'm not sure.
It is.
But we do see MLS in many ways. Alonso now coaching at Inter Miami. The talk of Pizarro possibly going there up in Kansas City. Former Tigres striker signing for Peter Vermes and Sporting KC. So there's all these ties to the Mexican League, including the Dynamo playing against Cruz Azul. Where do you see it coming together here with Liga MX and the Mexican game and Major League Soccer? Because we do know the demographics support it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's no secret that that MLS as a league is very committed to getting more and more, having more and more matches with Liga MX clubs. You know, the League's Cup is the classic example of that, where we had four teams participate last year from each league, and this year it's going to be eight. And this year will be actually really interesting because the eight teams from the MLS side have had to qualify based on their position in the standings, and so it'll be a great competition, and we actually are in position, I think, if in the event that it's a couple of Liga MX teams who make it to the quarterfinals or semifinals, we may even be able to host one of those matches again here this August, like we did last year. But I think, you know, that'll continue to grow. That event, I think, will continue to grow. There was some discussion at MLS meetings that I was at in December about some other things that are, you know, kind of looking down the road into, you know, 2021, 2022, and ways to get the leagues, you know, closer together. And so I would see more and more of that. This match that's coming in March to the BBVA Stadium where we're playing Cruz Azul, that's an independent match that we booked through a promoter that has no real tie to the league, but I think you'll see more and more of those matches with MLS clubs moving forward in addition to the League's Cup.
Talking to Dynamo President John Walker, the CBA is currently ongoing. I guess it got a bit of an extension here. Are there any concerns about a work stoppage? And how do you get briefed on what's going on in those meetings by Major League Soccer?
Yeah, it's been very tight-lipped, as you can imagine, and you know everybody in the league is you know, prohibited really from discussing any of the points, other than to say that, you know, we know that there are conversations or, you know, they're ongoing. We're all hopeful that they can reach an agreement in time that, you know, we can play a full season, and I think, you know, every indication is that we're going to be able to get to that point in the near future. I, you know, having been in worked for a couple of NBA clubs and having seen, you know, the sort of the effects of what that kind of what a stoppage might do, you know, I'm certainly hopeful that it doesn't happen, and I don't believe that it will. So we're remaining optimistic. And in terms of the communication, you know, the league will brief us every couple weeks and send us a note on where they stand with the conversations, but it's all being done, you know, very confidentially, and there's not a lot of detail that's shared. And even if I had it, Glenn, I couldn't share it with you.
I didn't think you could, but you know, I just was wondering how that process works. I do know there's a couple of key issues, especially the one I know that is a big one is minimum salary of $100,000 a year for the lowest end player on a roster.
Yeah, and I'm really in the same spot you are, is that I get a lot of the information about what's discussed just from what I read on Twitter and some of the industry news outlets. But having not been in those meetings, I couldn't tell you really, you know, how big a factor each one of the issues is in the discussion.
Now, you have a long background in the NBA. How different is working in the MLS from the NBA? Is there a big difference?
I think the blocking and tackling of sports business is generally the same regardless of the sport. I mean, it's, you know, for us on the business side, it's about selling tickets and sponsorships and creating a great presentation, you know, at your events and getting out in the community and doing good work. And I think that's, you know, that's pretty much the same across all the sports. I think, you know, soccer is very different in as we've discussed before, you know, you have multiple competitions going on at once, and so that creates a bit of an opportunity, I think, for your club to, you know, to do well in multiple competitions, maybe even win multiple cups and during one calendar year. And that's something that the NBA is discussing right now, and I believe actually the WNBA just approved it, that they're going to have a mid-season tournament, which is very soccer-like. And so that's been pretty exciting to be a part of that, you know, participating in the U.S. Open Cup and then last year the League's Cup as well and the CONCACAF Champions League. I got my first, you know, taste of having multiple competitions going on at once in a big way last year. And so that's a little different. And I think, you know, everything from the salary cap and how that works and transfer fees and all that stuff around player movement is very different in Major League Soccer than it was in the NBA for sure.
John Walker, president of the Houston Dynamo. By the way, that striker's name I was trying to pull from Kansas City is none other than Alan Pulido from Tigres. Forgot Alan's name, but he's going to be another great addition to Major League Soccer. And in Houston, well, they're going to open up with the LA Galaxy, the Houston Dynamo, Chicharito coming to town, Dynamo signing Darwin Quintero, and others going up with the new head coach, Tob Ramos. We thank you very much, John, the president of the Houston Dynamo, John Walker, for joining us tonight. John, thank you.
Glenn, I appreciate it very much, and I'll see you here in the next couple days.
You bet, and we do want to get you up in studio before the season starts, so I'm putting that out there now.
You got it.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, Dynamo President John Walker there, a number of different topics, both on and off the field there, some interesting stuff in and around some of the new stadium upgrades and a number of things going on with supporters groups initiatives and new hashtags and a lot of other things going on heading into an exciting 2020 season for the Houston Dynamo. All right, we're going to take a break here. We've got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW Midtown, and our good friends at Hugh O'Connor's.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.